This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I tagged Dana on Facebook regarding this morning. I know this is Brian Adams, but Paul Simon is making a comeback. And he will be playing at the Midland this year.
Was he ever gone?
Well, he had retired back in, I think it was 28. Yeah, he retired from touring in 2018. But he is going back out on tour. And I don't know the date yet for, Kansas City, Missouri, April 26th at the Midland. And then he has two dates at the, I believe it's Stifel Theater in St. Louis.
Yeah, I only included the shows that were within driving distance.
Yep.
Is he going to Memphis? Going back to Graceland?
I don't know.
Get out.
I don't know.
I'm sure he is.
Dana got it.
He's 76 years old. No, he was 76 when he retired, so now he would be 83, I believe. Anyway, I know you like Paul Simon.
It remains one of the best concerts.
Oh, you've already seen him.
I have ever attended at Starlight, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
It was more than that. He retired.
My God, it was incredible. Up until the Eagles at the Sphere. I always rank that Paul Simon concert number one. It's not number two. Sorry, Paul.
And Cheetos is coming out with a new flavor. It's a fan favorite, apparently. Really? Cheetos has unveiled a new flavor that is sure to be a big deal to a lot of fans.
Nice.
Womp womp.
The popular cheesy chip brand announcing this week its first ever pickle flavor.
Sign me up.
Is hitting store shelves nationwide after, quote, longtime pleas from pickle lovers everywhere.
Now, is that a Flamin' Hot Cheeto with the pickle flavoring, or is it just pickle-flavored Cheetos?
The flavor, Cheetos Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle,
I'm so in.
Oh no!
Blends the timeless tang of dill pickles with the heat, or with the hit of Heat Flamin' Hot fans know and love. According to the brand,
it's like crack.
The company pointed to, you've done crack?
I mean, I've read about it.
Mm. Okay. The spicy dill pickle. It's available starting 2 days ago, nationwide.
Run, do not walk.
Now, I did smear the pickle sandwich at Jimmy John's. And by the way, that has been brought back to the shelves.
It's the whole sandwich, but it's made from a pickle.
You can once again get a sandwich from Jimmy John's that instead of the bread, or I believe it's back. I could be wrong. But I thought I saw something that said that it was back, where instead of the bread, they get a giant pickle, they hollow out the middle, and you get your sandwich wrapped in a pickle.
It's healthy that way.
That would be perfect for me, especially now that I'm no gluten.
Yeah.
That's a big pickle.
Yeah, it is, Dan.
Really?
Big pickle.
That's what she said.
I mean, to fit a whole sandwich in it? Oh, yeah.
Did you guys see that I accidentally put a loaf of bread up in a cabinet that I don't open very often? And then when I opened that cabinet yesterday, I saw the most beautiful shade of emerald green.
Hmm.
flashed before my eyes.
Did you keep this?
I was like, what is that? And I looked at it, and it's one of those Nature's Best, you know.
Oh, nature took over.
Price Chopper brand of a loaf of bread. It was never opened.
Clearly.
And to Sam, nature has reclaimed that earth. It is a gigantic log of mold.
Where did you put it?
It was just up in this.
Did you throw it away?
Yeah, I threw it away, but I was shocked how, I don't know when I bought it. It must have been several weeks, but I was like, dang.
Were there some pieces that were still good?
Okay, so five or six pieces on the front end of the loaf appeared to not be green.
No.
But the entire, like, two-third back end of the loaf was a solid mass of green. There, look.
Can you take that? Can animals eat moldy bread?
Somebody said feed it to the birds.
Scott, I wouldn't.
I would be scared to open the bag. Although it might cure avian flu. I don't know.
Afraid that the mold might just walk out?
Spread spores
everywhere. Yes, I don't want spores all over my house.
I am well-versed in forgetting about random loaves of bread. It wasn't a couple of weeks. That thing had to be up there for months.
Mm-hmm. Had to be.
It was pretty gross. I'm not going to lie.
How long was it really up there?
I don't know. A month? Two months? I have no idea.
You want to go for three?
We don't eat bread. And I don't even know why I got it.
Bread?
I don't know. We don't eat bread.
But went out for the bread and
milk. One day I was like, maybe we'll have a sandwich someday. And we didn't. $2
someday.
I'm never getting back.
We'll have a sandwich someday. Maybe in a decade we'll pull down the loaf.
It would have been cheaper just if you wanted a sandwich to go to like a Good Sense or something and just buy one.
You are absolutely true. Or maybe next time I'll just wrap it in a pickle. It's already green.
That's right. Yep. Yum. Yep.
All right. So I'm doing some errands today at my desk. My little office at home. And you know, you get that packet, I don't know, every 3 months or every 6 months, your insurance company's always sending you a packet. Sometimes it's an updated homeowner's insurance something, sometimes it's auto. I have never, ever opened that and read it. It's just usually 50 pages of wasted trees in speak that I don't understand. But today I was going through
the
mail.
Tells you what the liability is.
Yeah, all the limits, whatever. Today, I was going through the mail, and I needed something from the insurance company, so I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to open this. I need to know my policy number, yada, yada, yada. So I open it up, that big white envelope, and it's, I don't know, 15 or 16 pages of changes to the policy, just letting everybody know.
Okay.
And hidden within the pages, man, this thing jumped out at me and smacked me in the face. And if you ever ride in an Uber or you drive for Uber or Lyft, I think this affects everybody. Says, Dear Dana, this is a notice clarifying coverage with your policy with respect to ride sharing arrangements through transportation network companies. That is an actual abbreviation now called TNCs. That's this insurance
transportation
speak.
Transportation network.
That is insurance companies. Speak. The okay. TNCs. A TNC typically offers a ride sharing service that uses smartphone applications and other internet-based platforms to connect passengers with drivers. We all know what Uber is. Your policy will not provide coverage for loss while your vehicle is being used for ride sharing services. Listen to this. Whether or not a passenger is occupying your vehicle. That last sentence is the most important line. Your policy will not provide coverage for loss while your vehicle is being used for ride-sharing services, which includes but is not limited to any period of time in which you're logged into an app, whether or not a passenger is occupying your vehicle. Please contact your agent to discuss any questions. I have been waiting for this announcement for, what, 3 years I brought this up? 4 years ago I brought this up?
Yep.
I said, if you are an Uber driver or a Lyft driver, does your insurance company know? Do they care? Do you have to have separate coverage? This says to me, they are clamping down on this. And I'll just tell my insurance company currently happens to be Acuity. I talked to somebody from American Family today, and they said they make sure their Uber and Lyft drivers have a separate rider. You have to have a separate rider with that company. I bring this up because I want to know what this means with all the snowy weather we're having. If you get in a wreck as a driver of a Lyft or Uber or a rider, what does this say to you, Scott?
Well, that says to me a couple of things. First of all, I've never even heard of Acuity. So they don't do advertising like all the others do, apparently. But it tells me one thing. Number one, they're getting claims from people who are Uber or Lyft drivers. Number two, if you're the passenger and you get injured, you're going to have to go through your own insurance company.
Bingo.
To help you out because they're not paying for nothing.
Bingo. From the That's how line, I read that.
This is going to cause some mayhem.
Nice.
Now, I've always wondered if you're an Uber driver, that's what, like, you're going to have more wear and tear on your car. You're driving more miles. You're using Clearly. Your car for commercial purposes.
There it is right there.
You're no longer using that just to and from work. And so my assumption was your rates are going to go up. Flip this around. To your point, Scott, what does this mean if you are a passenger and in a no-fault wreck, let's say during the snowstorm, no-fault wreck, two people are just riding down the highway, both going 55 miles an hour in the snow, and there's a wind gust and those two cars collide in Kansas, no fault. What happens if you're a passenger in that Uber?
Well, again, if you're injured, you can go out and get Mike's got this all you want. I don't know that anybody's got this. Because they've already sent you a letter.
We ain't covering it.
We're not covering anything that happens in that car. If you use that car for commercial purposes, it is not unlike.
We need to get Mike on the phone.
For example, if like USAA, who insures my home, sent me a letter saying, if you use your home for Airbnb purposes, we're not going to cover any damage to that home.
But we've talked about this many times in the past as cities traverse the idea of short-term rentals and how insurance plays into it. If you are doing it correctly and you register your home as a short-term rental property with your city, that comes with a separate insurance policy that is not in any way attached to your regular homeowner's insurance policy.
Good luck getting it. I bet most insurance companies would not write a rider for Airbnb. I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying some don't. But I wouldn't even bother calling USAA and asking them to insure to give me a rider for an Airbnb.
Well, no, it's through whatever service you're using. Airbnb, VRBO.
No, I'm sure. All right. 913-586-7798. I don't know if Mike DePasquale listens to the show, but if you do, Mike, we got this, but we need your help. The phone number is 913-586-7798. So Dana got her insurance policy the other day, about 16 pages long, and was working her way through it. I am starting to have an effect on her, reading all these legal documents.
It wasn't even the policy. This was just one of those updates. It's not a new company. I mean, this was that update that no one reads except you.
I do.
It comes in a big packet. You know, sometimes it's like, we've changed the loss limit or, you know, whatever. And I don't ever read it.
But you did this one.
I did
and
today.
It did say that if you use your vehicle, your private vehicle, which we are insuring for some sort of Uber or Lyft ride, we will not insure anything that happens in or to that car, including the passenger in the car who you might be taking somewhere.
Correct.
From the text line, when you book an Uber ride, you automatically have a $1 million insurance policy.
From Uber?
From Uber. I believe that is standard. It would be wild if, as Uber, to be contracting with these drivers with the complete and total liability just dangling out there.
Jeff in Lenexa, 913-586-7798. Jeff, hello.
Hey, guys. I've been driving for Uber for 8 years now, and here's how it works. I have my regular car insurance, and then there's a rider, which not all the insurance companies do provide, but there is a rider that we have that when you accept a trip request, then that rider takes over until you get to the rider. Sorry for all the puns. And then Uber had this, as Sam said, does have a $1 million policy once that driver is in the car. I'll tell you this, there's probably a lot of Uber drivers out there who are unaware that they are not insured unless they have that special rider when they are traveling to pick up a passenger.
And that was my question, Jeff. What percentage of drivers are out there driving around who do not understand they are not covered, either because they didn't ask on accident or didn't ask because they don't want to know the answer?
Yep. Hey, do I have time for a quick grievance?
On a Wednesday?
Friday?
Sure.
Okay, well, I've had Mike Marusars in my Uber. I've had the Kansas City Royals umpires in my Uber. I've had 25,000 riders in my Uber. Dana, why have you never been in my Uber?
Oh, Jeff, I don't know, man. We got to make that happen.
They let me drive in Western Shawnee.
I don't do Uber. I don't even have the app.
I love the call. Thank you for it, Jeff. And we love our Uber drivers who are out there doing a good job and paying probably more money than you even think if they're doing it correctly for the correct insurance.
Why wouldn't Uber? Go ahead, Sam.
$50,000 per person, an additional $100,000 per accident for injuries, $25,000 in property damage per accident. And that's when you don't even have a rider in the vehicle. That's for just the independent contractor that is the Uber driver. Once, and I'm reading directly now from Uber's insurance policy website, once you pick up a rider, that is where the $1 million coverage steps in.
So let me ask you this. Why wouldn't Uber or Lyft require you to submit documentation that you have the rider from your own private insurance company, which would take a lot of the heat off of them if you were to be involved in some sort of a wreck? And conversely, if you're insured by Uber even when there's nobody in your car, what's the incentive for me to even get private insurance on my car Uber is going to cover it anyway? Whether there's somebody in your car or not.
Well, you have to be active and online taking riders. So if you're driving around, say you're going to pick up a rider, you're covered for up to $100,000.
Got it.
Once you pick up that rider, that coverage goes to $1 million. And you need private insurance because you're not driving for Uber 24/7. Well, if you go to the store, that's not.
Well, Dana's private insurance basically said whether you have somebody in your car or not, we will not cover you. Now, I'm assuming
it says even if there's no passenger occupying your vehicle, if you are logged into a platform.
So if you are actively going to pick up or just dropped off.
I read that if you're just logged in, Scott. This says if you are logged in as a driver, whether or not a passenger is occupying your vehicle. Right. So to your point, I'm logged into 15 apps on my phone right now.
Well, I don't think that's what that means necessarily. I think that means if you are logged in, you've signed up at 7 o'clock in the morning to do Uber, you're available.
But you're on your way to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah. But what you've logged in and said, I'm available for pickup at any time today.
Why would my insurance not cover me if I'm on my way to the grocery store, but I'm logged in just in case someone needs a ride?
Because you're covered by Uber. Then you're doubly insured. And that's insurance fraud. It's like clocking in.
It's only insurance fraud.
No, it's not insurance fraud. Or Sam, every single company out there would have been sending these letters 5 years ago.
You would have to make a claim on both insurance companies, and then that becomes insurance fraud. But what they're saying is if you're making yourself available for a rideshare, to Sam's point, he's right about that, we are no longer responsible for the contents of your car or anybody in it, including you. Uber has now taken over the insurance policy on the car until you log back out. And then your private insurance kicks back in. But they are not going to cover you if you're working.
But they have been prior to this point. I find that hard to believe as well. Why would they wait? How long has Uber exploded in popularity? How long ago?
Six, seven, 8 years.
You mean to tell me they're just now figuring out of all of the claims daily that even just fender benders happen, they're just now saying Uber's going to cover it?
No, what they're now saying is we're putting this in writing.
Follow the money.
You are now on notice that we are not covering it anymore.
Yeah, somebody was unhappy with the insurance payout they got from Uber when they wrecked their car while online, and they tried to go to whatever insurance company that is and say, well, my policy here pays out better.
Yeah.
And that company said, well, you were working. You were under Uber's insurance.
When we get back, have they solved the break-ins at the homes of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce? And if they have, who do they believe did it? We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buckner builds it better. Welcome back. Good to hear Bill Brooks back on the radio. We have some sad news here out of Arizona. This is from ABC News. Two people confirmed dead after two small planes collided mid-air at Marina Regional Airport in Arizona today. There were two people on board each aircraft. According to the FAA, the aircrafts collided while upwind of runway 12, according to the NTSB. A Cessna landed uneventfully. The Lance Air, I think is how you pronounce it, impacted terrain near runway 3, and a post-impact fire ensued. So I'm assuming that the two people on the Cessna are okay, the two people on the Lance Air, and I'm assuming this, are not.
But okay. Wait, so they collided in midair and one kept flying?
Well, one was basically... it just says here.
I would call that flying.
Landed uneventfully.
How?
None of this makes sense.
So USA Today looked at this because I know y'all are wondering. I'm wondering. They looked, and here is the result. There have been 87, quote, aviation accidents in 2025. And we're only, what?
40 some odd days into the year.
87 aviation accidents in a handful of weeks in 2025. There were 62 in January, 25 in February. So far more in January so far than we have seen in February.
Now, it's not far higher than the average.
Well, that's what I'm...
So I started digging, too, because we've been talking about this so much, and aviation is something that I've recently been nerding out about in my life. And there is no true average. I couldn't find it anywhere, but I found anywhere from like 500 to 1,000 a year. Aviation incidents is what they call them.
My daughter's in flight school. Can we change the subject?
Well, but we need a benchmark, Scott, because it does seem like we're talking about this all the time.
It does.
But keep in mind, if there are 1,000 incidents a year and there are 100,000 commercial flights in the U.S. a year, tack on another 250,000 non-commercial flights.
Oh, I bet there's more than 100,000, isn't there?
I'm just throwing out arbitrary numbers. We're looking at a fraction of a fraction of a fraction.
Okay, but in 2023, there were no deaths from crashes on large commercial airlines. In 2023, there were several hundred deaths in, quote, general aviation, commuter air, and air taxi services. And general aviation, I would read that as even like Life Flight, right?
Yeah, probably. There are 45,000 flights in the United States every single day.
What is incredibly safe mode of transportation?
45,000 flights per day. At any given time, over the United States, there are 5,400 aircraft in the air.
There were 1,216 aircraft incidents in 2023, 1,277 in 2022.
Now, that does not necessarily mean they were fatal. It could be an engine went out on a private plane and they just had to...
count it.
Yeah, glide in and land safely, hopefully.
You remember the one in D.C. that killed 67 people is the only fatal commercial aviation crash in the past 15 years.
Yeah, I think it was 2009 or 10.
Now, I'm not saying that makes it okay or, you know, no, God bless those families.
But it was an incredible safety record.
One in 15 years is an incredible safety record.
From the Associated Press, Americans' confidence in air travel and the federal agencies in charge of maintaining air safety has slipped a little from last year following a recent crash in Washington, D.C., according to a new poll. But most Americans still believe that air transportation is safe. The survey was conducted by the Associated Press, shows that 64% of American adults say plane travel is very or somewhat safe. That is down slightly from last year, when 71% said that. 2 in 10 adults now say that air transportation is very or somewhat unsafe, up from 12% last year. So, who's the 20% that find it unsafe?
That just are like, I'm not going to fly.
People who are afraid to fly or...
Yeah. Or that don't look at the auto statistics. Yeah. My God.
You just don't pay attention.
I mean, if we're going to mitigate risk, yeah, there are things that we do every day of our life. Walking.
Well, driving, certainly, when compared with... aviation, my goodness.
Only about half of U.S. adults say the local subway or light rail system is safe. So these are people who probably don't even live in a city with a subway or light rail, but hear the news about what's been happening over the last year or two in New York City.
I was going to say, safe because of the mode of transportation or safe because of the other people that are on it?
I think they're including the people who are also on it. Listen to this, though. Overall, Americans think traveling by plane is about as safe as walking or driving a car.
Oh, come on.
Overall, Americans, here we go. About 2/3 of Americans say either walking or driving are safe forms of transportation. They weren't driving last night.
Well, are you walking on your cell phone downtown where there could be a manhole uncovered? You know what I'm saying? Depends on where you're walking. Are you walking in the jungle?
And Americans' faith in the government agencies that run certain transportation systems has also declined.
It is still by far,
I agree with you.
The safest mode of transportation.
All right, story here from Channel 5. A nationwide burglary scheme has led to charges for several people, read that 7, accused of burglarizing homes of professional athletes Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Mahomes' Loch Lloyd home was burglarized on October 5th of last year. Kelce's Lenexa home was burglarized October 7th while the team was playing in Monday Night Football. I'm not going to read the names of all of them. They are Chilean nationals. There are 7 of them. The youngest is 20. The oldest is 38. They have been charged with conspiracy to commit interstate transportation of stolen property. Each faces a maximum of 10 years in federal prison.
10? Mm-hmm. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
10.
Oh, did you hear that the home of...
Burrow?
No. Sam, help me. Nicole Kidman and...
Keith Urban,
thank you. It was burglarized just the other night.
Same?
They're trying to figure out if it's related, yes.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's the same group of Chilean nationals because they've been in custody.
The first thing I thought about, I'm not saying I don't think this is them. I mean, I think they probably got their guys because at one point they had memorabilia in the car, didn't they?
Let me tell you this part here. These 7 Chilean nationals, the government is arguing, are part of a larger South American theft ring. So
okay.
they're whoever robbed Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman, if they were part of this South American gang, could have been totally different members.
But part of the same gang umbrella, if you
Correct.
Will.
Yes.
Because I wanted to say when I first saw this headline, you want me to believe that these 7 yahoos, most of them in their barely old enough to drink in this country, These seven yahoos were
at Burrow's
the
house
head of
or
all
in-
of these. And by the way, it looks as if one of them is wearing a Chiefs shirt. Correct me if I'm wrong, in the left corner.
It does look
like
a Chiefs
shirt.
Yeah.
That is a Chiefs
shirt.
Yeah,
holding up watches. They're holding up their bounty and flashing like a peace sign in what is clearly a very crappy hotel room.
By the way, quick correction on the text line. The story says Kelsey's Lenexa home. I just read right through it like Ron Burgundy. He lives in Leawood, yes.
Now, they have not stated that they have specific items linking them directly to the Mahomes and Kelsey burglaries, similar to the items that they have where it's very obvious that they were inside Burrow's home, the JB9 chain, the number
the,
9
is
chain.
The Burrow- Also, the Chilean national people?
Yes. Or so they're saying that they believe that these seven people are responsible for all of these burglaries around the country, but they have yet to uncover evidence that directly, the way that I read the details of the story, that directly links, unless they haven't included that evidence yet.
I don't know. They already know that the total value of the property stolen was $1.48 million.
I do not read the story, and maybe we just read it differently, as these seven were the same seven that the same people that robbed Burrow's home, because in the story it says the members were part of a South American theft group that burglarized homes of athletes in the NBA and NFL. They were part of a South American theft group.
Surveillance footage also captured at least one of the men carrying luggage through a wooded area behind the Burrow home after the break-in. These yahoos look like failed members of the worst 1980s boy band you can come up with.
No.
They are young. They criminal mastermind would not be the first two words that would come to your mind when you see this group of kids.
Let me offer a clarification, because Sam, I know why you read it that way. You were reading a story from Fox 4. I was reading a story from KCTV 5. The Fox 4 story says the suspects are also linked to burglaries in Wisconsin, Ohio, Tennessee, and Florida. So the two stories seem to give a different interpretation of whether or not these are the same people responsible for all the other ones, or if they're part of a much larger theft group and it's not clear.
It's confusing how much truth they're giving to the idea that these were the people who set foot inside the homes of Kelsey and Mahomes.
We're going to post the photo of these ding-a-lings. It is very hard for me to believe that they pulled this off. And we should all be worried about the safety of our own homes if it is true that these are the yahoos that did all of that.
Well, the government thinks they did.
Well, and what's very confusing to me is, there are ways that you can find people's addresses, but rich people do things where they buy homes under trust funds or whatever so that their names
LLCs
aren't directly tied to that address so that they can't be found because they need privacy.
I would just be hiring a lot of security.
How do they know where they lived?
Well, I don't know. Maybe word just gets around in a small country town. I don't know. I have no idea. 913-586-7798. So just to bring this full circle, the stories based on the two that we printed, one from Channel 5, one from Channel 4, are a little conflicting and confusing as to whether or not these seven yahoos are responsible also for the Joe Burrow's break-in, the break-in of the Milwaukee Bucks basketball player, et cetera, et cetera. I think there was an NHL player or something who also had his home broken into. So are they part of a larger group, or are these the same seven yahoos who went around the country doing this? It's unclear. But these seven are the ones that the government thinks broke into Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's
house. I think, if we're going to be honest, I expected this to be an Ocean's 11 style heist.
You want to see them in suits and ties.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. They look like rejected members of the world's worst boy band.
Now, the criminal complaint does specifically state the Mahomes and Kelsey burglaries within the complaint.
Yes, correct. That they are charged in connection with those two break-ins. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. He's got to pop those bees a little bit harder, man. That was not acceptable.
We were all so excited.
Buckner is better. Buckner is better.
That was a letdown.
That really, you know,
really needs to lean into that and do better next time.
Rumor on the street is that we're going to be getting cameras in the studio in the not too distant future.
Oh, God help us.
And
we'll be fired in a week.
What you didn't see nor hear, friends, was when Bill Brooks said, he goes, Buckner is better. And Sam and I look at each other, and the smile on our face just drops. Excellent. And Sam goes, not okay. That was unacceptable.
I mean, we need some more oomph behind that. That
pop those bees, brother. I mean, brother, don't be afraid of it. Bill. Jeez Louise.
We're so dumb.
Sad news today. A survivor of the Columbine High School massacre has died 25 years after being shot and paralyzed. Ann Holkhalter, 43, was found dead at her home in Westminster, Colorado, over the weekend. Her stepmother, no, check that, Sue Townsend, the stepmother of Columbine victim Lauren Townsend.
Yeah, her stepmom.
Who became close to Ann after the attack, told the outlet that her death appeared to be related to complications from medical issues stemming from the injuries.
I was so angry when I saw this. And then you keep reading about this beautiful woman who should be counted in the updated murder count.
I agree with you on that.
Of what happened on that awful day.
Mm-hmm.
She was the most positive person, Scott, and would go around saying, I am a survivor. I'm not a victim. I can do anything you can do, but it's going to take me a little bit longer to do it in some cases.
Yeah.
And then listen to this. After she nearly died in that school shooting, her brother, by the way, survived but was trapped inside of the high school for hours. Their biological mother went in to a gun store and purchased a handgun and took her own life.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the story gets into her sort of surrogate family that stepped in after the shattering death of her mother. And she did interviews about this and said, honestly, the death of her mom in a lot of ways was worse than what happened at Columbine, because she said, for me to be injured so horrifically in this life-altering injury in the way that I was via a handgun, for her mother to do that was something that was very, very hard to understand.
So she, Anne-Marie, had stepped outside. She may have been their first victim. She had stepped outside to get some fresh air before the shooting started, heard some popping sounds, and felt something hit her in the back. She falls to the ground. A friend rushes over to help her up, and she gets hit again.
There is a story that just gave me chills. Mm. Within the body of is that the New York Times story that I think I had Sam print? At the very end, and I'll paraphrase, but I know enough to be dangerous. She was at a convenience store, a grocery store one day, in her wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And the clerk or the person behind the counter said, why are you in a wheelchair? Which, I mean, good God, why would you ask that? But okay.
Yeah.
She says, because I survived the Columbine shooting.
Mm.
Then she hears a voice from two people behind her in line. And it's a man. And he says, I was working as a member of SWAT that day. And I have never been able to forgive myself that we were not able to get to all of you sooner. Mm. And she said they hugged. And it was this moment of not even forgiveness. She said, I've never been angry with the first responders. She even went as far to say as she forgave
Dylan Klebold's mom
families and wrote to Sue Klebold and said, I do not harbor any ill will toward you, just as I would not expect you to be angry with a family member of mine.
That's almost
something
that's almost verbatim what she said.
Oh, I read that article twice. It is an article about grace and forgiveness, mm-hmm. and that powerful moment where even, you know, you could tell the SWAT member, all of the law enforcement lives that were changed with all of our school shootings.
Sure.
But certainly that one where they were so criticized, why didn't you go in? Children were bleeding and dying. Why didn't you go in? It's a powerful read. I would urge you to seek out the New York Times article on it.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III, or as we like to call him today, Sem. If you listen to the 2 o'clock hour, it'll all make sense. That is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.